May the Lord help us to commence this afternoon's service with hymn number 70. Thrice comfortable hope that calms my stormy breast, my Father's hand prepares the cup, and what he wills is best. Number 70.
Let us read together from the Holy Word of God From the Gospel according to John, chapter 14. The Gospel according to John, chapter 14. John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you for ever, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day shall ye know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away, and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. May the Lord be pleased to bless to our souls the reading of his holy word, and help us now as we would come before him in prayer. Almighty, eternal, most holy, most gracious Lord God, oh, grant to us now that true spirit of prayer. Lord, teach us how to pray, and grant us the gift of the Holy Ghost, that real prayer may be indited, that we may ask aright, and ask in faith, nothing doubting. As a dear hymn writer once penned, thou art coming to the King, large petitions with thee bring, for his power and love are such, none can ever ask too much. Thou hast said, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Oh, what grace we need to hearken to thy voice. What grace we need to open our mouths wide, in faith, in hope, in love, in humble expectation, looking to thee, Jehovah Jireh, looking to thee, the God of all grace, looking to thee, the Father of all mercies, the God of all comfort, looking to thee, who art so kind, so gracious, full of compassion, who is a God like unto thee, to provide the throne of grace, where poor, fallen, guilty, hell-deserving sinners may approach before thy holy majesty, thankful to find there yet is room before the throne of grace, thankful that this man receiveth sinners. Oh, thankful for the precious, sin-atoning, meritorious blood of Christ that speaketh better things than that of Abel's. Oh, by faith may we enter in and plead that precious blood that does the sin atone. Yea, to plead the atonement, the righteousness, and the all-prevailing name of Jesus, the name the Father delights to hear his children plead. That we might come boldly unto the throne of grace, though we be sinners, though we be so guilty, though we be so unworthy, though we be so undeserving, Lord, we come as beggars, a company of beggars, begging for mercy, begging for pardon, forgiveness, begging for help, begging for fresh supplies of grace, begging thy gracious presence here this day, begging thy approbation, begging the outpouring of thy Spirit, begging for a shower of blessing, begging for a word in due season, begging for the Good Samaritan to come just where we are. Begging a crumb of mercy. Lord, be very gracious. Look upon each one gathered here this afternoon. May the gathering be unto thee. Lord, those who have come with many cares, with many burdens, with many fears, many troubles, many trials. Lord, those who have come, we would see Jesus. Those who have come seeking the Lord while he may be found, calling upon him while he is near. Lord, any in soul trouble who long to know a precious Jesus as their Saviour, their Redeemer, their Shepherd, their Friend, their all in all. All who fain would believe, but fear to presume. Lord, those who long for that sight of the King in his glory, showing himself through the lattice. That glimpse of the dear and precious Jesus. This my incessant cry shall be, Jesus, reveal thyself to me. Lord, who by faith would be found sheltering under the blood, but long for that sweet sense of blood-bought pardon, long to know their sins forgiven, long to know that peace in believing, long to be made sure. When wilt thou come unto me and say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Lord, remember any who need reviving, any who need comforting, any who need restoring. Lord, any longing for a blessing, the blessing of the Lord which maketh rich and addeth no sorrow therewith. Lord, a word to strengthen their faith, to confirm their hope. Lord, a word to confirm that they are in the right way, the narrow way, the way that leadeth unto life. Lord, remember those in providential need, especially any in a trying pathway, those who may feel cast down by the hardness of the way, may feel dejected, may feel forsaken, may feel forgotten. Lord, it may be the wind is blowing contrary, and they're struggling, toiling and rowing. Oh, may faith pierce those dark skies and behold the Lord who looked upon his people and he saw them toiling and rowing. Ah, he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Lord, remember those whose faith is being tried, severely tried. Oh, they feel to be all burnt up in the trial. Oh, Lord, they feel that they shall perish. They shall be consumed. Oh, Lord, may the eye of faith again behold the refiner, whose eye is upon his people in their trials. I will bring them through, safely through. Ah, the gold to refine, the silver to purify. Ah, the if need be. Oh, Lord, we pray for those who cannot understand their way, feel so perplexed and at a loss, their pathway so crooked, so rough, so difficult. Also, when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer, and he answered her not a word. Oh, grant them that same prevailing prayer. I will not let thee go till thou bless me. Mine's an urgent pressing case. Lord, those who need thy help, thy appearing, thy intervention, thy overruling, to make a way where there appears to be no way. Lord, we would rejoice if any who do rejoice and have those things to rejoice over, perhaps answers of prayer, the Lord appearing, the Lord providing, the Lord leading safely on, the Lord dealing with their enemies. And yet, Lord, we would mourn with those who do mourn. Do we not read, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Lord, remember each mourning soul here this afternoon. Ah, oh, mourning over themselves. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Lord, fill those new corruptions within, those new sights of sin. Oh, Lord, fill to be greatly troubled, greatly tried, greatly oppressed, and so dejected. Oh, wondering how they can continue, how they can press on. Lord, remember them. Remember those mourning over the loss of loved ones or in bereavement and sadness. Oh, do comfort their hearts. Lord, so to remember each case before thee, thou knowest. Man looketh upon the outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart, and thou, God, seest me. Do pray for any unable to come this day who would be here if they could. Lord, remember them where they are. And, oh Lord, we pray for the dear children, the little ones, the young people growing up into life. Lord, bless them each. Put thy holy fear deep into their hearts. Lord, call them by thy grace. Hedge up their ways. Guard them on every side. Keep them from this wicked, evil world. and all its attractions, enticements, allurements, the pleasures of sin. Grant them that same grace as Moses of old, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Do remember parents also, grant all needed grace and wisdom to bring our children up aright, to set that good example to them. Lord, in this dark and difficult day and age in which our lot has been cast, and pray for all in the midst of life, the many cares and burdens and responsibilities, the many pressures and matters to be attended to, things to be dealt with. And we pray also for older friends in their declining years, as the mud-walled cottage shakes, the grasshopper becomes a burden, the shadows lengthen out. Lord, do draw near to each one, and as the outward man perisheth, may the inward man be renewed day by day. Do remember this cause of truth. Lord, be with them here above all. May they be blessed to know that thy Spirit remaineth among them. And grant them those evidences of thy Spirit's work. Let thy work appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto their children. May this prove yet to be the spiritual birthplace of many a soul. This and that man was born in her. And O Lord, do bless them and favour them and encourage them. And go before them, bless the church with peace and love, unity, harmony, and prosperity. Remember the officers of the church here, and grant all needed grace and wisdom and ability, as unto the Lord. And Lord, bless the ministry of thy word here, as my servants come from time to time. May they come as the Lord's messengers, with the Lord's message of us, saith the Lord. And what we pray for here, we pray for each cause represented. And Lord, each cause of truth up and down our land, many of which are ministered and brought very low, some of which are struggling for survival. Lord, shine upon the churches, lest they die. Oh, turn again Zion's captivity as the streams in the south. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. And Lord, whether it be personally or collectively, and in our causes and throughout Zion, if in any way whatsoever we have grieved thy Holy Spirit, Lord, do show us. Grant us that godly sorrow which worketh repentance unto salvation. And Lord, return with mercies unto Zion. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Lord, who have mercy upon our guilty land and nation. Oh, what can we say? Lord, we cry unto thee. Revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. Stem the great tide of sin and iniquity. Rule and overrule. And Lord, with the general election later this week, our eyes are upon thee, for the hearts of all men are in thy hand. Oh, could it please thee, though, to raise up some who love and fear thy name, who seek to do that which is right in thy sight. Oh, Lord, put down wicked men. And, oh, Lord, do remember our Queen and the royal household. We would be thankful for the safe deliverance to the heads of the throne. And, O Lord, touch their hearts and do help them to make a stand for the truth, for the things of God. We would be thankful for all thy many, many mercies, the supply of our every need. Great is thy faithfulness. Lord, we have much to be thankful for, that we are surrounded by thy blessings and so many privileges. Oh, for a thankful heart. Do not we read that in everything, give thanks and be ye thankful. Do help us now as we return to thy holy word. Be pleased to shine upon it, that we may see light in thy light. And, O compassion on us, have we pray. Empty, send us not away, as we ask all, in that worthy, precious, all-prevailing name of Jesus, and for his sake alone. Amen.
Hymn 942. O God of grace, of love immense, how free thy favours to dispense, I to thy mercy seat repair, since thou hast said, I'll meet thee there. 942.
Thank you.
the Lord may be pleased to grant his gracious help. I would direct your prayerful attention to a word that you will find in the book of Joshua, chapter 1 and verse 16. The book of Joshua, chapter 1 and verse 16. And they answered Joshua, saying, "All that thou commandest us will we do, and whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go." Joshua chapter 1 and verse 16. And they answered Joshua, saying, "All that thou commandest us, we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go." These words were spoken by the tribes of Reuben and Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh. You remember the children of Israel as they came toward the end of their 40-year pilgrimage. They came, what we might say, to the right-hand side of the River Jordan, and the land was good for cattle. And the tribes of Reuben and Gad and Manasseh came to Moses to ask if their inheritance might be in that land on the right of the River Jordan, really from the Dead Sea right up to the Sea of Galilee and beyond. And really it was on condition that this land would be given to them for inheritance, that the men of war should go forth with the armies of the children of Israel into the promised land to fight with their brethren until all the land had been conquered, and then, and only then, could they return to their inheritance. And they promised Moses that they would do that. So this land was given unto them. Now Moses died, and what a day that must have been for Joshua, who had been with Moses, Moses' servant, all those 40 years, had witnessed all the things that had happened to Moses and how the Lord had been with him and strengthened him and helped him and upheld him. And how the Lord in this chapter now speaks unto Joshua, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." And really here Joshua has his first test. You'll understand me if I say he's on his own now. Of course the Lord was with him, but no longer does he have Moses. Moses is dead. Joshua is now the new leader. All eyes were upon him. And really this was his first test. Would the tribes of Reuben and Gad and this half-tribe of Manasseh be faithful to that which they promised unto Moses, seeing now that Moses had died? "Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, until the Lord had given them rest." Would they obey? Would they be prepared to leave this land where no doubt they had begun to settle and take up their inheritance? Would they be prepared to leave their wives, their children, their little ones, and go forth with the rest of the children of Israel into the land to fight? There were battles to fight. There were still the sons of Anak, those giants and their great cities. Would they be prepared to go forth now? And they answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. Now, what a very different spirit from 40 years previous, when the 12 spies returned from the land, 10 bring back an evil report, only Caleb and Joshua brought out that good report, and especially we read of faithful Caleb, who followed the Lord fully, who believed that the Lord had promised them that land, and no matter what obstacles, no matter what mountains, no matter what difficulty, no matter what giants, they would conquer, they would overcome, the land would be given them, they would destroy their enemies. But the children of Israel at that time hearkened to the 10 spies. You know, by nature, we would rather go with a majority. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, or dare to stand, as it were, on the Lord's side, though all others flee. Faithful Caleb and Joshua. You see, the folly of the children of Israel, and really we read of it again in the Epistle to the Hebrews, seeing then that they could not enter into the rest, because of their unbelief of the word of God, that dreadful, awful, besetting sin. Dear friends, are we not plagued with that same sin of unbelief, questioning the word of God, limiting the Holy One of Israel, full of doubts and fears, seeing these giants, the sons of Anak, or seeing these impossibilities, all for that same spirit as Caleb and Joshua. But the children of Israel, no, they feared those giants. They couldn't see how it could be possible for them to conquer the giants and the others in the land. And so the Lord said that they would not enter into the promised land. Or really they were cursed, that they would all die within those 40 years pilgrimage. But now you see again the folly of some of those children of Israel being under the curse. Now again, they would go against the word of the Lord, and they would try to force their way into the land. Go at their own feelings. And of course, they were smitten straight away. 40 years later, we still have Caleb. We still have Joshua. But every other one over 20 at that time has now died. A new generation. And they answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. Even if thou send us to the Anakites. Even if thou sendest us to the most fierce opponents and enemies, even if thou sendest us into the most difficult, trying places, whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. Now, it is very easy for us to read these things. These things took place roughly about 3,500 years ago, and we may think it only applies unto them. It is only what happened then. Here we have an historical account of the children of Israel. Dear friends, these words are as much applicable today as they were then. The word of the Lord endureth forever. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. For indeed, here we would see Jesus. You know, in Joshua, under the Old Testament, Hebrew means Saviour, exactly the same word in the New Testament Greek, Jesus. And they answered Jesus, their Lord, their God, their Master. And they answered Joshua. But we have here a greater than Joshua. Dear friends, who do we serve? No man can serve two masters. Either he will love the one or hate the other. He will cleave to the one and not the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Who are we found serving? And if we profess to serve a Lord, can we really, honestly, wholeheartedly enter into the words of our text? And God looketh upon the heart. All that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. You may be wondering why we read John 14. If ye love me, keep my commandments. One of the evidences of being a child of God, a true, sincere disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, is to keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. The Lord is not a hard taskmaster. The Lord is a loving, faithful, good, kind shepherd who cares for every one of his sheep. The Lord would never command us to do something for which he would not give us both the grace and the strength, the wisdom and ability to do. All, not some, not most, there's no picking and choosing here, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. I do believe in the previous chapter in John 13, the Lord Jesus speaks of that new commandment which he gives unto his people. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another. Dear friends, is this one way in which the Holy Spirit is being grieved in our day and generation? Are we not obeying this commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ to love one another? We are all different characters. We all have different personalities. We all have different circumstances. We are all very different. But if we are members of the living family of God, or then surely where we see that grace in another, we will be drawn to that one, and there will be that spirit of love. And as the Lord has loved us, oh, what a wonderful mercy if we have that hope to know something of the Lord's love toward us. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness will I draw thee. And how the Lord draws his people unto himself. In this they are all united. They are all drawn to Christ as the one thing needful. They are all drawn to Calvary. They're all drawn to his precious blood. They're all drawn to his righteousness. They're all drawn under the shadow of his wings. Dear friend, would you be there? Sheltering under the shadow of his wings is the Lord Jesus, the one thing needful. The pearl of great price, the altogether lovely, the chiefest among 10,000. What a mercy, oh, what a wonderful mercy, if we have that hope of being one of his disciples, one of his sheep, one of his children, called by his almighty, irresistible grace. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. Oh, there are various ways in which this may be made manifest. If we love one another, well, we are called to pray one for another. I'm sure all of us here in different ways have various needs. And what a wonderful privilege is prayer. And how we ought to pray one for another. In our closets, to remember those who have any particular need or affliction or trouble or trial. It may be that we cannot help them in a practical way. Although, again, if we can, we should. You read the Epistle of James. Oh, it's incumbent upon us, the disciples of Christ, to help each other even in practical ways where we're able to. But where we're not able to, can we not pray for them? That ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another, bearing one another's burdens, and so fulfilling the law of Christ. Again, in manifesting that love, in trying to help a brother or a sister in time of need. But then again, you think of what's commonly called the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses. We like that bit, don't we? We want that part, don't we? Forgive us our trespasses, as we also forgive them that trespass against us. Oh, I know it can be so hard when perhaps we have been hurt, whether intentionally or unintentionally, where one perhaps has spoken against us, or where there's been that disagreement, where there's been that quarrel, where there's been that falling out. Oh, what grace we need to forgive one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Oh, in this is manifested that same love, in loving one another. Well, much more could be said concerning that new commandment, that commandment of love. And they answer Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And really, as disciples, are these not commands? If any man will come after me, that is to be my disciple, my follower, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Again, can I suggest, is this another way whereby the Holy Spirit in this day and generation has been grieved? Where is the self-denial? Only by God's almighty grace can we deny self. Man loves self. Man worships self. Man dotes upon self. Man would put self first. There is self-love, there is self-pity, there is self-righteousness, there is self-seeking. All centering upon self. Dear friends, it can be our biggest idol that we worship, self. The Lord has said concerning every one of his people, from all your idols will I cleanse you. And when there is that pulling down of the idols, it may be painful or distressing at the time. And yet how needful, how necessary that we be found denying self. Or denying self, perhaps privileges, denying self of time, denying self, things that we would take to ourselves. There are so many, many ways in which one, as grace is given, can deny self. And not only self-denial, but the taking up of the cross. or what appears to be that heavy cross which our Lord is pleased to lay upon us. Or it may be a cross of affliction. Or it may be a cross, a present of a crooked pathway. Or it may be a cross of heavy things in our lives. Or it may be a cross of a lonely pathway. It may be a cross that we struggle under. And yet the cross which our Lord has appointed, sometimes that cross is hidden from others. I think the most famous account is that of Francis Coville, who was pastor at Westry Croydon, that he had a large church and congregation. They appeared to be at peace, loving one another. He was highly loved and respected and honoured, a most faithful servant of God. And I think it was another visiting minister who came to see him, and, well, really he envied him. He says, "You have a large church and they're all at peace. They all love you." Really, he was saying, "You don't seem to have any troubles. You don't seem to have any trials. You don't seem to have any problems. All is well with you. The Lord is smiling upon you." If I recall correctly, Mr. Coville didn't answer him verbally, but he took him into his house and into a certain room where lay Mr. Coville's greatly afflicted son. That was his cross. If you will, that was his ballast. It was that the Lord sanctified to keep him humble, to keep him low, to keep him poor, to keep him needy, to keep him dependent, to keep him at the throne of grace. And you see, those troubles and trials which the Lord sends into our lives, if we're his disciples, we must take up his cross, despising the shame that it may bring. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and he shall exalt thee in due season, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I just want to follow that theme of humility. You remember that time of the Lord Jesus with his disciples in the room, took a towel, and no doubt knelt down and washed the feet of his disciples. We understand that was one of the most menial tasks which was given to the lowest of the servants to do. And yet the Lord Jesus, he humbled himself. In love to his disciples, in love to his people, he humbled himself. The Lord of glory, the Lord from heaven, the eternal Son of God, now taking the servant's place, literally here, to wash his disciples' feet. And Peter, at first couldn't accept it. "Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Surely no. If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." "Oh, not my feet also, but my hands and my face." Humility. Real, true, godly humility. Remember, God resisteth the proud. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination unto the Lord. And by nature, we all have proud hearts. Oh, how our hearts would seek to come forth in pride, perhaps in the imaginations of our mind. We think proud thoughts. We want great things for ourselves. We want people to look up to us, to respect us, to honour us. We seek that pedestal. Oh, that pride that was, well, a poor, weak, fallen worm into thinking himself something. Now, I do really believe that if we're found amongst the disciples of the Lord Jesus, then to follow him we shall be humbled, and the Lord will know exactly how to humble us under his mighty hand. And in a sense, it is a commandment of love, that of true humility, not feigned humility. Really, I don't think there's anything worse of pride than feigned humility. Someone pretending to be humble, making out that they're humble, wanting all to see that they are humble, but it's nothing but awful pride. Now, when the Lord humbles his people, they are truly humbled. He emptied them from vessel to vessel. It may be in the trying of their faith, or that fiery trial. It may be that sanctified trouble, or it may be in all the difficulties that you are passing through, that the Lord is humbling you. And here shall thy proud waves be stayed. All that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. His commandments are not grievous. They're commandments of love. And if ye love me, ah, how it brings it to the test. If our love to Christ is real, if it is genuine, we love him because he first loved us. You see again how Peter had to be humbled before the other 11 disciples. After the resurrection, when Peter went a fishing, caught nothing, cast the net on the right side and caught many. And afterward, the Lord Jesus, as it were, singled out Peter. Peter, who before Christ was crucified, before in the Garden of Gethsemane, had boasted, "Though all men deny thee, yet will not I," ready to go to death. But Peter left to himself. Oh, he fell greatly. One moment he was full of pride, thinking that he alone would stand. But it was he and he alone who could not stand, who fell. How he was humbled. Or when that cock crew, when Jesus looked upon Peter and he went out and wept bitterly. Oh, he was truly humbled then. Then by the Sea of Galilee, as Peter is singled out, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." And here was his commandment, "Feed my lambs." And then the Lord Jesus asked the question again the second time. "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." And then the third time, and I'm given to understand that each time there was a stronger emphasis, a stronger depth, as if to say, "Do you really, really love me?" Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest my heart. Thou knowest that I have fallen by mine iniquity, but I approve that in thee is my help." A restored Peter, a humbled Peter, a tried Peter, a proved Peter, but now a faithful Peter. Oh, there's such a difference, I feel, between Simon Peter the disciple and Peter the apostle. Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee, though my love be so poor, though my love be so faint, although my love be so fickle. But thou knowest that I love thee as my Saviour, as my Lord, as my Master. Jesus saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." All that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. But Peter had one more lesson to learn. When the Lord Jesus further spoke unto Peter, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest wherever thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. But then we have the old Peter coming back. But Peter turning about, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved, and that is John speaking of himself, a disciple John, which also leaned on his breast at supper. Peter seeing him saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? I think perhaps we spend too much of our time considering or judging, Lord, what shall this man do? What about this man? What about his pathway? What about his circumstances? And what about him? Another loving rebuke to Peter. If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. All that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. I do believe that the Lord exercises the hearts of his people. And often there is that stirring up. I think in Deuteronomy 32 we read, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings. She taketh them and beareth them upon her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him. But first there is the stirring up of the nest. And I'm given to understand some types of eagles, when they have built their nest, and their nests are very deep, that at the very bottom of the nest they put in things like branches or stones or thorns. And then above that they put softer things, perhaps moss, ferns and the like. And then on top of that, even softer materials where the eggs are laid. So when the eaglets are hatched, they are very comfortable. Underneath them, things are very smooth. The parent eagle feeds them. But as they grow up, and especially towards the time that they must leave a nest, the parent eagle will stir up a nest, literally. And in stirring up the nest, so the softer things on top are removed or taken away, and the things underneath start to protrude. And so that nest, which was once comfortable, is not so comfortable now. And I understand the parent eagle continues to stir up that nest, and so the thorns and the sharp stones and the branches make it a very uncomfortable place to be, to encourage the eaglet to leave a nest, to fly. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings. May I suggest there may be one or another here this afternoon, and the Lord is stirring up your nest. Once you were comfortable, once you were at ease, once things were going well, but now the Lord has sent things into your lives and there's been that stirring up. And once where you felt at home, no longer you feel at home. Now you see that soon there must be some movement. You see, our lives are full of changes, aren't they? Change and decay in all around I see. So many changes out of our control, things which happen. And when the Lord stirs up the hearts of his people, When the Lord so exercises them, they are no longer at ease. They perhaps are exercised in certain ways. And the Lord is constantly stirring up their nests, constantly, as it were, troubling them. They cannot put these thoughts out of their minds. They try to, but then the Lord comes again, there's more stirring up. And I believe they're brought to our text. Maybe a long time before we're brought here, all flesh will resist, but then flesh must be denied. All that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. You remember that first recorded prayer of Saul of Tarsus, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Really, the answer was given to Ananias. I will show him what great things he must suffer for my sake. The persecutor must become the persecuted. The one who opposed Christ must now follow him. Or must deny self, must take up his cross, and follow him whithersoever he goeth. All that thou commandest us. Well, it may be perhaps that we are exercised in a certain matter. And like the dear psalmist, we pray, cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. Or we seek that grace to know the Lord's will. You see, there is that great danger of presumption in going before the Lord. There is great danger and harm in going before the Lord. We shall be checked for it. We shall be chastened for it. We shall be brought back. Oh, seek grace to follow, not to go before. Perhaps you're in a time of waiting. I waited patiently for the Lord. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Perhaps you've been waiting a long time. Your nest has been stirred up a long time. But still wait. Wait until the Lord commands. Wait until you know the Lord's will. Wait only upon God. Lean not upon an arm of flesh. Lean not to your own understanding, but trust in him and wait for him. The Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. The Lord will make it plain. Think of Ruth, the Moabitess. She returned from the barn where she had met Boaz that night, and all that concerned her. And yet the wise counsel of Naomi was, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter shall fall. For the man shall not be in rest until he finish the thing this day. And I think it was made very plain to Ruth when either Boaz himself or his servants came to fetch her. But what grace we need at times to sit still. Their strength is to sit still. Again, by the Red Sea, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And yet Ruth and also the children of Israel were not continually to sit still until then the word of the Lord came to Moses by the Red Sea, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. So you see, there is a time to sit still, but also there is a time to go forward. Or we will not be permitted to spend all our lives, if you will, sitting still. No, our nests will be so stirred up. Or that we just cannot sit still. And when the Lord speaks to us that we must go forward, then we must go forward in faith. All that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. I do not wish to speak fancifully, but these thoughts come to mind, and again, remembering how the Lord exercises his people, what if the Lord was to send us away, perhaps into another nation? Perhaps the Lord has a work for us to do there. What if the Lord was to send us away from the land of our nativity, or far away from our loved ones, from our friends? Would we be willing? Would we be prepared? Would we still be found in our text? Or will we start finding reasons and excuses why we couldn't do that? Oh, you know how man will so quickly come forth with all manner of reasons and excuses. When the Lord would send Jeremiah to be a prophet, I cannot speak, I am a child. When the Lord would send Moses, oh, how Moses tried to find every excuse there possibly was why he could not go and deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. But this truth will ever she be made manifest. Thy people will be willing in the day of thy power, willing to follow him whithersoever he goest. Oh, this word, it's a big word, isn't it? Whithersoever. Whithersoever thou sendest us. Now, just permit me to say, I know a little of this from my experience and concerning my parents, who must be now 13 years since I've been in America. And I shall always remember my late grandmother, who passed away just before my parents moved. And she was so troubled about them going. It was her daughter, my mother. And she told me that she said to my mother that should you go out there, you won't see your grandchildren growing up. Well, it's happened. She hasn't. And I know it's been a life of sacrifice unto them. The Lord has balanced the clouds. The Lord has been with them to help them. They've had difficulties and troubles. But you see, in this, they had to be obedient. I know with Father that word came, go, come over unto Macedonia and help us. The Lord would have them go out there and they must go. What if the Lord should command us to go somewhere perhaps the flesh shrinks from? Or somewhere, no, I don't want to do that. No, Lord, that's too hard for me. No, Lord, I couldn't possibly go there. All that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. I feel we need to be reminded time and time and time again, ye are not your own. Now, the world and the carnal professor, they are their own. But they're not really, they're Satan's servants. They serve the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, but they think they're their own. And sadly, the Lord's people at times, we think we're our own. That we can go our own way, we can have our own thing, that we can have our ease and enjoy things. But no, our life is to be a pilgrimage, strangers and pilgrims. This is not your rest. This is not our abode. And as servants, we are called to serve. That was spoken to Timothy by the apostle. Thou therefore, my son, endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ. And as soldiers we're called to fight the fight of faith. And at times that battle is sore, and at times that battle is intense. But the Lord bids us go on, all to continue in the faith, all to be strong. All that thou commandest us, we will do, trusting the Lord will supply our every need. The Lord, if you will balance every cloud. Oh, again, I remind you, the Lord is no taskmaster. The Lord is kind, the Lord is gracious. The Lord cares for his people. The Lord will provide. Yea, the Lord will provide all needed grace, all needed strength, all needed wisdom, whatsoever it be. But may it be ours, as grace is given, to trust and obey. If there is one sin, we must be careful saying this, I trust you'll follow me. If there is one sin the Lord cannot abide, it's that sin of disobedience. The Lord will have his people obedient. Perhaps some of us here have the scars of disobedience. Or we've called for the rod. We've called for the chastening. We've called for the correction. We've called for the scourging. The Lord has had to deal with us, perhaps severely, because we would be disobedient. But oh, to be made willing in the day of his power, willing to deny self, willing to take up our cross, willing to follow him whithersoever he goeth. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. Them that honour me, I will honour. Amen.
Tea will be served shortly on the right-hand side of the chapel, and the collections today are for our Needy Cases Fund. Let us now close with hymn 968. Hark, my soul, it is the Lord, 'tis thy Saviour, hear his word. Jesus speaks and speaks to thee, say, poor sinner, lovest thou me? 968.
Thank you. the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.